Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Monday, May 17th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are in Chapter 5, How It Works. We're on page 58, the second paragraph. Our stories disclose in a general way, and we'll be studying that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Rhonda R. Oops, I don't think I heard of Rhonda. So, Barbara W., would you please be prepared to read the 12 Steps? I can't remember if Rhonda checked in. The 12 Traditions, Terry H., and the readers of the text
are
Kara L.
Steps.
Thank you. Kara L., Betsy H., and Barbara W. Thank you, Barbara. The share ID for Sunday, May 16th, is 16,958. That's 16958. That was yesterday's Sunday special edition. And for this morning's meeting, May 17th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 16,961. That's 16961. And our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and our announcements person is Leslie M. Thank you all for your service. Our OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask, I don't know, Rhonda, did you get on the phone? Don't think she's here. So, okay, Barbara, we're going to let you do it. Barbara W., would you please read the 12 steps?
Yes, good morning. Barbara W. here from Washington State. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being that the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and, when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Well, and thank you, Barbara W., for stepping in there. And I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida, grateful recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry this message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ certain special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committee directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve.
Well, and thank you, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And that's the star 1 function on your phone, not the mute button. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 58 in Chapter 5, How It Works, and we'll be studying the second paragraph only. Our stories disclose in a general way, and I will now ask Kara L. to get us started. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Mo. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. Good morning, I'm Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And short little paragraph, powerful little paragraph. And it gives me a couple instructions just in that little paragraph. 1, you know, how do I, when I'm talking to somebody, a newcomer, what do I say? Well, in a general way, I say what I used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now, because that's what I got when I read the stories in the back in the Big Book. That's what I got when I went to meetings as a newcomer. I got to see where somebody was and what was the change in their life and the beautiful things that are in their life now. And that was something that was hope for me. That was hope for me that I could get to where they were. And then I wanted what they had, right? If I decided we wanted what we, if you want what we have, And that's the first part. Do I want what you have? Right? When I listen in a meeting, when I read the stories in our literature and in the back of the big book, do I want what they got? You know, and the next part is, am I willing to go to any lengths to get it? I have to be out of my own ideas. I have to be done with fixing it. I have to be done that if I just have the right sponsor, if I just have the right food plan, if I just exercise the right way, if I just go to the right amount of meetings, if I just. I have to be out of ideas. And I have to want it. And I have to do it. And it is so, I'll say, it was so hard for me to let go of figuring it out, to let go of finding the perfect way, because I was told my whole life if I worked hard, I could have anything I wanted, and I couldn't. I could not stop this compulsive overeating on my own. I had to have a power greater than myself. It took me 15 years in this program, and the only thing I did perfectly was I never left. And I listened to the old timers and I listened to the newcomers, and it came, and I got to have a spiritual awakening. And I worked these steps, and I worked these steps every single day. And I never want to lose what I have today. So I get up early. I work with sponsees. I do my step work. I get on the meetings. I go to meetings, you know. It's too close to my heart, this connection with my higher power. And I know today that I cannot do it on my own. I must plug into my higher power, and that my higher power will do for me what I cannot do for myself. And with that, I'll pass.
Oh, perfect. Oh, there's God's in charge. Okay, thank you very much, Tara L., for getting us started. I'll just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 58 in Chapter 5, How It Works. Second paragraph down, our stories disclose in a general way. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to share, please press star 1 to unmute. Give me your name, first initial of your last name, and your state.
Penny from Washington.
Okay, who was that from Washington? Penny?
Penny L.
Penny? Gotcha. All right, and I got you, Juanice. Penny L. C. and then Juanice. Who was that after Juanice? Say that again. Stephanie M. I got you.
Marguerite G. in Michigan.
Marguerite.
Connie W. in Virginia.
Connie, thank you. Anyone else? We'll start with that lineup. We've got Penny L. C., Juanice N., Stephanie M., Marguerite G., and Connie W. I hope I got the last initials of your names correct, but you can correct me. So Penny L. C. will be up first, followed by Juanice N. Good morning.
Good morning, Mo, and thank you for your service. This is Penny L. C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And just to be able to say that is so powerful to me, because when I look at my big book, what I have in the margin next to this paragraph is, are you willing to go to any length to get it? And I remember my sponsor at that time asking me, and she said, okay, if you're saying yes, then I want you to sign and date it. And that's what I've got here, is the date and my initials that I signed agreeing to that. And how powerful it is to look at that, because at that time, my life was so different. What I was like was walking in insanity, selfish, self-centered to the extreme. My life was unmanageable to the nth degree, and my food was out of control, and I was a slave to compulsive overeating. What happened is the 12 steps, this amazing process of ego reduction and finding a new way of life by connecting and seeking and following my higher power's will. It's just been an amazing journey when I look back over these, what now is 10 years from the date I signed this, and that was after a couple of years of still trying to find my way in earnestness, but it hadn't completely adhered. So it's a journey, you know, and we all have our journey, and it all unfolds the way it's meant to. But what it's like now is amazing. You know, I really do have the gift of the promises of the big book that are outlined for us after doing the work and after continually staying in the step work with 10, 11, and 12, going back through the steps 4 through 9 if I need to, if there's something that I'm that disturbed by, and just being surrendered to my higher power's will and knowing that there is a way through whatever life presents today. I don't have to turn to the food. What a gift. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Penny LC. Juanice M, followed by Stephanie M. Good morning, Juanice.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so grateful to be here this morning with you and to be able to participate in my recovery. So I have been walking this road a long time, and I've never gotten into a group that studied the big book like this until I came to A Vision for You. And so many things are coming out to me now that I never saw before, even after 18 years of recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous. And this is one of them. And it's such a main one. It just blows me away that I never saw it this way before. And it's where it says, if you have decided you want what we have. And all my time in AA, I have saw that as, if you want to get sober and stay sober, that's what we have. We have sobriety and we stay sober. And I never saw it this way, that if you want what we have, and what Bill and everybody in the book and all of them are trying to get me to is, what they have is this relationship with their creator, my creator, not the creator of the universe and the creator of all that too, but my personal creator, the one who created me. And that is what's the power that keeps them sober. But I never saw that. If you want what we have, which is this relationship with God, a relationship with God like the one we have, and are willing to go to any length to get it, to get that relationship. When I first came to A Vision for You, I was speaking to one of the members, and I said, you know, I know that my program, my life, my recovery would be much better if I would pray and meditate more. And she was like, no, your prayer meditation creates the program, because the whole thing is about building the relationship with God that solves all my problems, that keeps me abstinent every day, that leads me and guides me. And this whole thing is about a relationship and a reliance upon Him. And I just did not see that. I really was relying on staying sober. But for the grace of God, I stayed sober. But then now dealing with the food addiction. So anyway, thank you for letting me share. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Juanice. Stephanie M, followed by Marguerite G. Good morning, Stephanie.
Hi, this is Stephanie M from Los Angeles, California. This is my first time sharing on this line. So a little bit nervous, but I raised my hand, so to speak, because this paragraph really spoke to me. And I'm on my fourth step, and I spent last night finishing up the fourth column. And one of the last resentments I wrote about was about, like, the state of my life and the fact that I'm 39 and I'm unmarried and I don't have kids. And then reading this paragraph this morning, I love that. I feel like there's two operative words here. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it. And for so long, as much as I want a family and a big life, what I really, really wanted was to be alone with my food. And I'm so, so grateful to read this and know that I finally want it. Like, I want that more than food. And I want, you know, a connection with my higher power more. And I'm willing and I'm doing the work. And that's it. Like, I just have to stay on that path. And I feel like, having just finished writing all of that fourth column, like, the theme for me is I am a victim. I have magical thinking about life. And I really just want to be in charge. And that's the thing through every single thing that I've ever done. And this paragraph makes it so easy. Like, I'm not a victim, but I have to want it. And I have to do the work. I will not be rescued. But then it's there for me, you know, and it's just so simple, so not easy, but so simple. If I can just get out of my own way, and what a relief. So excited to be where I am today, and so grateful for all of it. And I guess that's all I have to say. I pass.
Well, and thank you, Stephanie M. Marguerite G, followed by Connie W, and after we take Connie, after I take Connie, we'll take more names. Good morning, Marguerite.
Hi, good morning. This is Marguerite, recovered compulsive eater, calling in from Michigan. This is such a great paragraph, because ultimately it's about how our lives are going to change. Right. So, like, I came to program really worried about my eating and my weight and my health and all of that, without fully grasping just how unmanageable my life had become. And, you know, the reason that I did all those compulsive things with food is because my life was unmanageable. And the reason that my life was unmanageable was because of all of my character defects. And, you know, me exerting my will and trying to take control and, you know, things not going my way and being very burnt up about it. So.
Marguerite, press star one. You got unmuted.
Hi, am I back? Did you guys?
Yeah, you're back. You got muted somehow.
Weird. Okay. Anyway, sorry about that. So ultimately it was my character defects that were making my life so unmanageable. It was me. I was causing all of my own problems. And the way that I dealt with those problems was doing something compulsive with food. So, you know, when I first heard someone recovered share their story, it wasn't just the neutrality that they had around food that was appealing to me. It was hearing that the promises had come true, those ninth step promises. You know, self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fears go away, right? And so that was so appealing, and that was what I wanted. I wanted what that person had, you know? And I was willing to go to any lengths to get it. And thank goodness, because, you know, now that I'm in 10 through 12 and have been for quite a while, now I get to share that with other people. You know, I get to tell them, life was unmanageable, and it wasn't just the food. It was me as well. And then, you know, I get to share what someone else gave to me. And then if that person wants it, you know, then they get it too. And it's just really cool how this program works. So with that, I will pass. Thanks for letting me share, and thanks for your service.
Well, thank you, Marguerite G. from, I think that was Missouri. Before I take Connie W., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 58 in Chapter 5 of How It Works. We're studying the second paragraph only. Our stories disclose in a general way. And after Connie, I will take more names. Good morning, Connie.
Good morning, Mo, and thank you so much. Can I be heard?
You certainly can.
Hey, so this is Connie W., and I live in Virginia, and I am so, so grateful for this program. I'm grateful to be willing today. You know, that's all I have to do is be willing to turn my crazy life, my crazy will over to a power greater than me. Because when my thinking was that I had this, I know what to do, I've got this. No, I don't. I love what the first speaker said. I will not leave the rooms. That is the gift for me. In my craziness, it's to stay, keep coming back. I heard that over and over again, just keep coming back, and I keep coming back, and today I am willing, and that's all I need to be. I need to be willing to turn my life, what I think I know, over to a power greater than me, and my power, who I like to call HP, knows so much more. I've got this strip in my mind when my eyes open, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, you need to do that. No, I need to say, God, what would you have me to do? And I'll be okay. But if I'm in me, I'm a train wreck. I'm off the tracks. Call a crane and upright me. So I'm going to stay on track. I'm going to be willing. Thank you so much for your service, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Connie W. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share
Ann
on
B.
this paragraph? Ann B.
Ronnie and Missouri.
Larry G.
Ronnie, I heard after Ronnie, who there was a gentleman?
Larry G.
Larry. Okay, Larry G.
Terry W.
Terry W. After Terry.
Deborah G.
Melissa
W. Deborah G.
Gusty.
And who's that? Gusty. Gotcha, Gusty. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll see if we have time after them. I have Ann B., Ronnie B., I guess they're both B's, Larry G., Terry W., Deborah G., and Gusty M. Good morning, Ann B. You're first. Everybody else, please mute your phone.
Hi, this is Ann B. I'm in New York, and I am a compulsive overeater, and I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 16 years. And I'm thinking back to what originally attracted me to this program, and my marriage was falling apart, and I reached out to a guy I knew in college thinking maybe I would change to him as a relationship. And he started telling me about his experience in AA. And then he asked me this question. He said, I don't know if you have any experience in repetitive guilt behaviors. And of course, alcohol wasn't my issue. I stopped alcohol because of a heart palpitation condition, and I never looked back. It never called me. It never made me high. But my first thought was food. And I remembered that a friend of mine in my religious group had told me about OA about 8 years before. But I knew this guy in college, and I thought, boy, because I hadn't known he was an alcoholic in college, and maybe he wasn't at that point, but I thought, I knew him well enough to think, boy, if this worked for him, it could work for me. And he became sort of my backup sponsor in OA whenever I had a question that was about program. And although he has never recovered when it comes to food, and he's very overweight, he is still alive because he recovered from the alcohol. But whenever I've had a problem in OA where I wanted to double check my sponsor's answer, or my, and now I have a fellow traveler rather than a sponsor, but I would always call him and ask his opinion because he had years and years and years of experience in the mother program. And then my first time in an OA meeting, which was probably maybe 6 months after that, I got to an anniversary meeting and it was a long qualification from someone I'd never met, but I thought, if she could do this, I could do this. And that's so critical to the way this program works. It's about hearing other people's stories. And that's something that I think is so important. I have to tell my story. I don't try to control other people. I don't try to tell other people what to do. I tell what worked for me.
Time.
And I'll pass.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Thank you, Ann B. Ronnie B, followed by Larry G. Good morning, Ronnie. Ronnie, press star 1 to unmute. Still can't hear you, Ronnie.
Hi, I apologize. This is Ronnie in Missouri. I'm grateful we're calling OA addict, food addict. Anyway, I apologize for that delay. A couple of things. One is when I came into the program, it was so very long ago, and I am abstinent now for about 15 months, but I'm in the program over 30 years. And so what came to my mind in reading this is that it takes what it takes and it took what it took. And so I have to remember that. And I do need to be, for me, prayer and meditation every day. And when I'm in a funk and I'm thinking, oh my God, how can I keep this up? How can I possibly keep this up? It's great that I've come this far, but keeping it up. And, you know, an expression we have in AA is that it is so much easier to stay sober than to get sober. And considering it took me 30 years to get here, I have to remember that. And I loved hearing about prayer being to my creator, because when I feel despair, and I do, it's not on a regular basis, but I do get in funks. The major thing that gets me out is remembering I have my own creator. And my own creator didn't get me this far to drop me on my head. That is not what happened. But I need to continue to reach out to others. So where I'm at is I've had a lot of sponsees, but today I have none, because this program is about staying abstinent, not just getting abstinent. So I'll be on the sponsor line, because if there's one thing I need to continue, and what always helps me to get better, is reaching out to others and sponsoring others. And so it's just the way it went. And I don't have a sponsee now, and so I feel the pain of that. So I'll be on the sponsor line. Thank you very much. That's all I have.
Well, and thank you, Ronnie B. Larry G, followed by Terry W. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. This is Larry G from Northern California. And today marks my first year anniversary coming to A Vision for You last May of 2020. And I'm just overwhelmed. It's just incomprehensible to me that I have this gift of abstinence. Going to any lengths, I was always willing to go to any lengths, especially after a binge. And in the end, the binges were happening weekly. So I was willing to go to any lengths. It would last 24, 48 hours. And I now know why, because I could not, with sufficient consciousness, force the memory to remember the suffering, humiliation of even a week or a month ago. And that's on page 24. And that really is proof to me that I have a brain disorder, as we learned in the doctor's opinion. So what's the difference today? The difference, I believe, the single most important ingredient to getting recovered is surrender. And I love, Bill mentions 10, 12 times in the spiritual experience in the back of the book. The one that really fits me is an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. I don't know why I had that happen to me on May 17th. I guess I was just ready, finally ready after 26 years in OA of fighting this this disease and losing. But I had that day I had a complete revolutionary change in the way I was seeing things. And the surrender that I had last May has continued throughout this year. And that surrendered was I knew in that moment that I could not live another moment without God. In fact, today I don't want to live without God. Life is meaningless, unfulfilling, unsatisfying, demoralizing. I cannot live without God. And that has sustained me this last year. And today's just another day. But I want to thank, there are so many people on this call, just kind people. I've spoke to hundreds of people in a vision for you. And I never would have believed beyond my wildest imagination that I could have this kind of closeness, this kind of connection with people on a phone line. And I thank you, and I pass.
Well, and thank you, Larry G., and happy one-year anniversary. Terry W., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, and thank you so much for your service. My name is Terry W. I'm from Massachusetts, and I'm a recovered anorexic bulimic. I love this paragraph, and what really just sticks out for me when it talks about our stories to close in a general way, what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. What I love about this is I've been in this program almost 30 years, and I can look back to every single meeting I went to years ago, and every meeting I went to, people would talk about they had a fight with their boyfriend, or they got an F on their test, or they are having a fight with their in-laws, and that's what the whole meeting was pretty much about. And if this is a program of attraction, there was no attraction there because there's nothing to be attracted to. So I love that, you know, when I qualify, or I listen to qualifiers that say about where you used to be, where, you know, how you got here, where we are now, it gives you structure and an understanding, and it's an appeal. As I said, this is a program of attraction. It's not about hearing about, you know, oh, my brother and I got in a fight today. Well, yes, that is important if it's in the right context. But I just love how it talks about it gives us this general structure, how to get our message across to others. And, you know, this is really a step 3 decision. And it says if you want what we have, you know, do what this outline says. You know, just be clear and conscious about how we get the message across. And I just wanted to bring that up. So I look back, and every meeting I went to, there was no structure. Nothing was appealing because there was no recovery, I guess I would say. So I just love how the structure is, and I wanted to share that. So thank you for letting me share, and I hope everyone has a nice day.
Thank you, Terry W. Deborah G., followed by Gusty M. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo, and thank you, Mo, so much for being of service. And thank everyone for making this meeting possible and all the shares. Wow, it's been wonderful, the 12-stepping I'm hearing. And, you know, I'll be quick because I want another one to be able to share. I just was thinking what came up for me was that I couldn't get honest with myself. And it wasn't until I got honest and believed that I was a compulsive overeater, and because my life was so unmanageable, I was living in that insanity. I was just insane what I was doing, my behavior, and with everyone that crossed my path, had the effects of it. And so then I stopped giving food the power and gave the power to that power in step two, then there was a shift. And then I was able to go through the rest of the steps to deepen that relationship, to deepen that transformation within me that only that power can do, so that I can be of service, so I can serve that power by carrying this message to another compulsive suffering overeater so that they may have the same experience. And it's just so lovely and beautiful, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Deborah G. And after Gusty M., if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we can take a few more names. Good morning, and I'll just remind everybody where we're at. We're in Chapter 5, How It Works, page 58, second paragraph. Our stories disclose in a general way. We're studying that one paragraph only. Good morning, Gusty.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone. It is so great to be here. I am Gusty N., like the noontime. And it's okay. I'm calling from the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia, where we honor the Massawomeck tribe as earlier inhabitants of this land. I am in awe of how the stories of what I used to be like are mirrored back to me when others share their stories, as has already happened today. I remember so well being 39 and unmarried and without children and desperately wanting that to change and working overtime to try to fix that problem the same way I worked overtime to try to fix every other problem, including, the compulsive eating problem. And it was 39 when I landed in recovery. It was a different fellowship that I started in, but definitely had to learn how to surrender my will and my life over to the care of the God of my understanding. And I can say here I am 46 now, 7 years later. Having one day at a time and some days just not very well and other days to the best of my ability, every day surrendering my will and my life over to God, working this program, admitting my faults, making amends, all of that process has led me to, I am now married and I have an amazing partner in my life that is completely unlike anyone I would have imagined choosing. It was clearly my higher power putting this person in my life because I kept choosing the complete opposite of who my husband now is. And I don't have biological children, but I am surrounded by children and definitely mothering. And my life is really, really good and a complete 180 from that 39-year-old who was desperate. And so I do look back at that gift of desperation, who I was, what I'm like now. I still make a lot of mistakes. And just have to continue to remember to work the program. But my life, the best, the worst days today are better than the best days back then. And it's because I worked the steps and continue to work the steps over and over again. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Gusty N. And we have time for two more shares. Who would like to share on page 58, second paragraph down, our stories disclose in a general way?
Melissa W.
Who was that W?
Who
was W? Was that Melissa W? Okay, go ahead. Who else?
Dana P.
Dana P. So Melissa W. and Dana P. Okay, Melissa, you're on.
Hi, Melissa W.
Oh, there you are. Okay, go ahead. Oops. You got muted again, Melissa.
Hi, Melissa W. I'm gratefully recovering in this program. This is just such an awesome little paragraph. And I spent years in another program just not willing to go to any lengths, which also includes resisting getting to this program. And it just got me trapped in the bondage of self, and it was misery. So I'm really grateful for the desperation that it gave me to get here. And I just want to speak to that that I heard, if I just had the right sponsor, had the right food plan. I also lived that way before. If I just exercised enough, if I just dieted enough, if I were just thin enough, if I just had the right job, if I just had the right guy, my life would be perfect. And I never got it. I never got that. It was never good enough. And that constant seeking, it got me here also. I just couldn't, nothing outside of myself could make me happy. And I was just exactly what I needed to hear this morning, because I'm so grateful to have 30 days of abstinence today. And I did all of that in my first 30 days, the needing the right sponsor, the right food plan. And it was literally just yesterday that I, by the grace of God, spent time outreaching to fellows, talking about that I need the right food plan. And someone actually said to me, Melissa, it wasn't you who kept you abstinent these first 30 days. And it wasn't your food plan. It was God. And I really needed to hear that. And it again, by the grace of God, it stuck. It stuck. And that same person said, you know, you're not going to die of hunger, you know, and food is not our problem and it's not our solution. And all of these things, these old things, and I'm holding on to all these old beliefs. And that set aside prayer, like, it's okay. Like, it's going to be okay. And that, you know, that coming to believe, like, I feel it. Like, I am coming to believe. And yesterday, like, it was an okay day. And like, I just need to keep my head down and keep doing the work, you know, because as long as I'm in the work and not in my head, it's a good day. And I finished my fourth step, and I'm doing a fifth step on Friday, and on Tuesday. And I feel very grateful today. So thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Melissa W. And Dana P., you'll be our last share for today. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Mo. Dana P. here, compulsive overeater, bulimic, anorexic. I'm in California, in Grover Beach today. You know, I reading this paragraph, I hit on that word general. In a general way, we said in a general way what we were like, what we did and what we're like now. And, you know, thinking about the promises is what comes to me really this morning, and it's that idea of happy, joyous, and free. And today also is my birthday. I share that birthday with my twin fellow on the line, a year now abstinent and working this program to the best of my ability. And what a miracle that is. Prior, and I always wanted to go into detail about what I did with the food and how my life was unmanageable, and to tell you the whole story. And what I realize now is that it's not about that. It's about all the underlying my character liabilities and how my warped thinking was affecting my life. And it was, you know, that insanity of my own making. And prior, I felt like I was in bondage, you know, that free part of happy, joyous. It was non-existent, literally was in bondage by the food, but not just by the food, but with my way of thinking, my character liabilities that I continue to practice on a daily basis. And I can say today that I have freedom. I have freedom, and it is only by the grace of God. And I've heard that said again on these lines. This program is such a miracle, and the shares just resonate with me so much today. There is freedom, and if you are new or fairly new on the line and you're not finding that freedom, just keep coming back. You know, speak to recovered people, get the story, and work these steps. Connect with your higher power. And that's what it was for me. My beloved master lives in me now, lives in me. And that is that intuitive place. And it's another of the promises. We would intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. And with that, I will pass.
And thank you, Dana P. You'll be our last share for today. And I want to thank all those who gave service on this Monday morning meeting and all those who shared and all those who are on the line. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Betsy H. to read that. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Mo. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick.
Oops. Betsy, I'm sorry I muted you accidentally. Go back on. For the man who is still sick, that's where you were at. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Ask Him in your morning meditations what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the records of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.